morning, everybody. It's nice to see you all today. And okay, so most of you know I'm getting married soon. So I've been 3 weeks. So while I've been doing invitations and who to invite and who not to invite, in church it's not like that. Everyone's invited. Not that I'm discriminating against everyone, but you know, numbers and stuff. So everyone's invited to worship this morning. So I hope you get something out of the service, both from the worship and the sermon. So for I know I have the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's Jeremiah 29:11. And the first song that we're going to sing, there is strength between the sorrow, or sovereign over us, as some of you know it better. Thank you.
Thank you.
you. Lisa's going to lead us in prayers.
Let's pray.
So when I spoke to Nathan about what he was going to be preaching about today and kind of where I should go with this morning, he said that he was doing a thing on what God thinks about us. So that was, I never really thought about what God thinks about us before, so I had a little look on Google, it's one of my best friends, and had a pray and a think about it. And what God says about us could probably be summarised up this is quite a short summary of how it might sound. I am the creator and you are my creation. I breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. That's Genesis 2:7. I created you in my own image. Genesis 1:27. My eyes saw your unformed substance. Psalm 139. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I know the number of hairs on your head, and before a word is on your tongue, I know it. That's Matthew 10 and Psalm 139. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So some of the things I picked up about what God might think about us is that we're completely accepted. He completely accepts us. He loves us unconditionally. We're totally forgiven, and he does consider us extremely valuable. So we've just got a few songs this morning. Starting off with Father of Creation. You can all stand or sit, just however you like. But please join us in singing.
Your pictures in general.
Lord, we thank you for bringing us all here today. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for everything that you do for us, for the times that we fail and still you're with us. If we stumble, you catch us. Okay, amen. Our next song is From the Inside Out, or better known as A Thousand Times I Failed. And it says, every time we fail, he's gonna catch us. If we fall, he's gonna catch us. His light will still shine when everything else fails. And then after that, we'll be singing You Were the Word at the beginning.
Still I've got
Thank you, Lord, and thank you that your name is indeed a powerful, wonderful, and beautiful name. Okay, if you'd like to sit. So before the children go out, has anyone had a birthday this week or got one coming up in the next few days? Anyone little, that is? Yay! How old are you? 7. And when was your birthday?
It's Saturday.
It was yesterday. Exciting. Did you get lots of presents? You got some. Okay, would you like to choose a present from the church? Have a good rummage. Oh, a football. Is it your birthday as well? 2. How old are you? On Tuesday, you'll be 11. Oh, hello. Thank you. Do you want to come and choose a present? You choose one later? Yeah, okay. Do we sing happy birthday? That was lucky.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, the children like to go out to their classes. You're leaving that there? Yeah, probably there. Before Nathan comes to speak to us, we're going to sing one more song. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word.
Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. I want to sing a few verses of this chorus. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than even the diamonds. And nothing we desire compares to him. If you know it, sing along with me. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Yes. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are. Lord, you are more beautiful. More beautiful than. And nothing I desire compares to you. Yes, that's beautiful. Let's say it again. Lord, you are. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful. You are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares with you. And nothing I desire compares with you. Father, we thank you for your presence that we feel in this place. We thank you that you indeed are precious. You're more costly than gold. You mean more to us than things and things that we own and all of the things that we sometimes hold so dear to our hearts. Nothing compares to you. And Father, we just want to again reaffirm and affirm our total dependence on you. It's in you that we live, move, and have our very being. Lord, we're desperate for you. And Lord, as we come now to feast on your word, we pray, Lord, that you would feed us, Lord, and speak to us this morning. Would you minister to each and every one of us here today? Pray, Lord, that you would anoint me afresh as your servant. Give me the boldness and the utterance to speak, to make known the mystery of your gospel. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning to you all. Good to see you all here this morning in the presence of the Lord. And we are continuing our sermon series that we commenced last week, entitled simply, Who Cares? Who Cares? And we're talking about the care of God throughout the Bible. And today I'm asking the question, as you heard from our worship leader today, what does God think about you? What does God think about us? And we're going to head back to Psalm 139, and we're going to dig a little deeper into this psalm. And today I'm going to read from verse 15 to 18. And it reads like this: My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Verse 17, our key verse today. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I want us to read this verse together. What does God think about us? Look what David says. Let's read it together. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God? How great is the sum of them? And in verse 18, we'll read it together. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Amen. What does God think about you and me? Church, there's a little old story of a young woman who confessed to her teacher, and she opened up about some of the struggles that she was facing in her life. And she shared with her teacher that she had a problem with gossip. She had a problem with saying too much about people. So her teacher instructed her to go and buy a bird and to pluck out all of its feathers one by one as a penance for her sin. So the young woman followed her teacher's instructions and plucked out all of the feathers from the bird. And as she went back to update her teacher about all that she had done as instructed, and she plucked out all of the feathers from the bird, but her teacher had another request for her. I want you to now go back and pick up all of the feathers that you plucked out from the bird. I want you to collect them and bring them back to me. And the response from the young lady was simply this: I can't do that. The wind has blown the feathers in various directions. That is true, said her teacher. Neither can you recall all of the words that you have spoken about other people. Because, church, the words that we release from our mouths have the ability to encourage, to build up, but also to tear down. It's almost like squeezing all of the toothpaste out of the tube and then trying to get the paste back into the tube. It's a near impossible task. But not only are the words that we speak, church, powerful, but God has also created us with the capacity, and we should do this, that we think before we speak. We are thinkers as human beings. We have the ability and the capacity to ponder in our minds. We strategize with our minds. Some of the greatest inventions throughout human history were at one stage just a thought in the cerebral cortex of the human mind. Whether it was Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple, whose thoughts and ideas paved the way for the Apple iPhone that many of us enjoy today. Or whether it was Mark Zuckerberg, along with his classmates from Harvard University, whose thoughts and plans led to the concept of Facebook, to which millions of users use across the world. Friends, the God-given ability to think has led to some of the greatest inventions that we enjoy each day. But not only do we have the ability and the capacity to think, to strategize, and to ponder, but we also have the propensity to either reveal our thoughts or to conceal our thoughts. For example, have you ever wondered, what is someone thinking about me? I wonder what they really think about me. I wonder how he or she feels about me. And the reason why we may ask those questions is due to the fact that as humans, we can either reveal our thoughts, reveal how we are thinking, or we can conceal our thoughts. For example, and we really shouldn't do this, but let me do this for example. I may say to Terry, Oh, Terry, you did such a beautiful job leading today. Oh, the worship team, Lisa, it was beautiful today. Great job. Excellent. That is what I have decided to reveal to the worship team. But then if I went home, and this is not what I'm really thinking. But if I went home, Carol, and I said, oh, they were terrible today. Oh, this, what a racket. The band were all off key. It was awful. That is an example of me deciding to reveal some things in my mind, but also to conceal how I really feel about the worship team. So we can reveal or conceal our thoughts. But church, not only are we thinking beings, not only do we have that God-given ability to reveal or to conceal our thoughts, but the creator of all things, God himself, is a thinker. God also, through the counsel of his own will, is thoughtful. God is a thinker. And in a similar vein, friends, just as we are created in God's image, God himself has the ability to either reveal his thoughts or to conceal his thoughts. For example, everything that we know about God, everything that we can learn about God, his thoughts, how he is thinking, everything that we can peruse and study throughout the 66 books of the Bible, and everything that we can know of him through the power of the Holy Spirit, the very presence that we enjoy each day and that we desire is only a portion, only a partial view of what God has decided to reveal to us. As the prophet Isaiah, he put it this way in chapter 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired nor weary, and there his understanding, here it is, no one can fathom. In the New Living Translation, it says, no one can measure the depths of his understanding. Because Isaiah understood, church, that our finite minds can only comprehend that which God has allowed us to be revealed. As Moses found out, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us, his children, that we may follow all of the words of his law. So, church, since we have established that God created humanity with the capacity to be thinkers and to be thoughtful, and in like manner we model God because he himself is thoughtful, then the question before us today is, what does God think about us today? What does God think about the current state of affairs in our world today? What does God think about the decisions that we make on a daily basis? What does God think about Russia invading Ukraine? What does God think about some of the laws that are passed by our government? What does God think about the spiritual climate of our country and our world? Friends, we hear on a daily basis the revealed thoughts of humanity on various subjects. All we have to do is watch the news and you'll hear how people are thinking about various issues. But today, I want to ask the question, what about the name above all names? What is the Lord thinking about the time we are living in today? What is the Lord's thoughts towards his church, the global and the local church? Let me go a step further. What is the Lord thinking about us here at SBC? Like the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation, I pray that we have not abandoned our first love. Or like the church in Pergamum that compromised its beliefs. Or the church in Sardis who was found by the Lord to be a church that was spiritually dead. What are the Lord's thoughts towards his creation today? Well, although we know through Scripture that God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." Again, testament to the fact that he can reveal and conceal, just like we can. But David lets us know here in Psalm 139 that although there are some concealed thoughts in the counsel of God's will, David lets us know in this psalm that what we can glean and find out from God and about how he is thinking is that God invites us into his thought process, and David discovered that the thoughts of God towards him and towards Israel were amazing and beautiful. So what does God think about you and me? Number one, David says here, as you see in your sermon notes, that God pays close attention to the details. Can we say that together? God pays close attention to the details. Yes. You know, sometimes people in the world use the expression, "the devil is in the details." And of course, this phrase, it generally is used to convey that although something may seem simple on paper, but when you dig a little deeper into the details, you may discover that things are a lot more complicated than you originally thought. And sometimes people use that phrase, the devil is in the details. It's just like, friends, if you were to give me a Bible and a microphone, then through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God, then I can try to make sense of the Holy Scriptures and teach the Word of God. But if you give me some instructions from IKEA or Argos, now other stores are available, by the way. But if you ask me to put together and assemble a flat pack, if you ask me to put up a wardrobe, as I found out not too long ago, then I won't have a clue with what to do with those instructions and with those details. But David lets us know in Psalm 139 that God pays close attention to the details. God has the ability to not only see the big picture of our lives, the beginning and the end through his omniscience, but God is also heavily invested and interested in the finite details of our lives. Now, let's do this as a demonstration. Put your hands up here if you consider yourself to be a big picture person. Put your hands up if you consider yourself to be a big picture person. Oh, wow. Ah, yeah. Okay. Right. Hands up if you are more of a detailed person. You're into the details. Ah, details. Yes. And you know, it's interesting, friends, when, as our worship leader talked about, that she's getting married very soon. And one of the things you'll know about planning a wedding is that you'll find out very quickly who is the big picture person and who is the one who's into the details. You see, for me, I am a big picture person. I can see the vision of how the wedding day will go. But Anna, on the other hand, she is very much into the details. And just this past week, when I finally took some time to really read through the small prints and examine every plan on this enormous spreadsheet that she put together. And I saw some of the costs attached. I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry as I was reading. And Anna said to me, "Serves you right. You should have paid more attention to the details." However, church, when it comes to God, He has the ability, the power to see the big picture as well as be invested in the small details. And He carefully maps out a plan for our lives. It's a perfect God-designed and God-assigned plan for our lives. It's a will that He would want us to follow. As David lets us know in verse 16, "All the days ordained for my life were written in your book before one of them ever came into being." In other words, God devised a personalized plan for David's life, almost like a tailor who measures and fits the suit specifically for the customer. And God, in like manner, He has a suit that has been specially designed for each of you here. In fact, the plan that He has for us, it was formed in the counsel of His will even before your parents ever smiled at each other. That is the omniscience of God. Even before they went on their first date, God knew the big picture. And the days of your life were ordained, and He set you apart, and He had a purpose for your life. However, church, we also have to know, it's important that we recognize, that although God indeed does map out a plan, He's a thinker. He designs a plan for our lives, a perfect plan for us. But this does not interfere with another aspect of God's will. And that is the ability for God to give us His creation the freedom of choice. Free will. That allows us the ability to either choose to follow the plan of God or to go our own way. Yes, He has a perfect plan for us, but we have to be willing to obey it and to follow it. But not only can we learn from David's psalm that God is a thinker, that He pays close attention to the details, but secondly, David lets us know, here it is, number two, God's thoughts are precious in content. Can we say that together? God's thoughts are precious, yes, in content. They are precious in their content. Look what David says in verse 17. "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God." In other words, the Lord's thoughts, they are of great value. God's thoughts are pure. They are deeply cherished. You see, unlike the thoughts of humanity, which at times we can allow our thoughts to become polluted, we can allow pollution to come into our minds, thoughts of a sinful nature. Because just like the great inventions that start in the mind, also we see that evil acts throughout human history, they were also the seeds of a thought that started in the mind. But God does not have that same problem as humanity, because He is perfect in all of His ways, and His thoughts are pure, and they are absolutely perfect. And no one who studies the Bible could ever accuse God of not having pure thoughts and intentions. When you look at the very plan of salvation, that Jesus Christ came into this world, a sinless man who died on the cross for our sins, When we look at the plan of Salvation Church, we learn that God indeed planned for his Son Jesus Christ to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins long before the Garden of Eden. We learn that God planned salvation into the story, and it was not just a knee-jerk reaction to Adam and Eve's sin. That before the world was even framed, the Lamb of God was slain, because that's how highly he thinks of his creation, that he would plan the course of salvation even before the world was framed. What a mighty God that we serve. But we also learn throughout the Bible, church, it's important that we recognize this also, that God at times, although his thoughts are precious, there are times throughout Scripture where God can be displeased with his creation. He can be displeased with our actions. And yes, we see even in Scripture, there are times when God can be angry with our actions. In Exodus chapter 32, when the children of Israel became impatient and they became frustrated with their leader Moses because he was taking his time enjoying the presence of the Lord on Mount Sinai, talking with the Lord, and they decided to ditch the God that they served of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they decided to make themselves a new God. They said, let's collect all of the earrings and let's make ourselves a new God. And they forgot all about what God had done for them, bringing them out of Egyptian slavery. And they created a new God made out of earrings. And in verse 9, we get a close insight into the thoughts of God about this. Listen to what he says. He says, I have seen these people, said the Lord to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, says the Lord, so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. You see, although God's thoughts are precious in content, this does not mean that God cannot be grieved or angry with our actions. Because we know, church, that God hates sin. He despises sin. He detests sin. But we also know the wonderful truth that God does not hate sinners. Although he detests sin, he loves the sinner. And his love and his grace for us, it should never be used as a license to keep on sinning. As Paul put it this way, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And church, we know that avoiding sin and turning to God in repentance when we do sin, it allows us to live our lives and to please him in worship and obedience. Yes, God hates sin. He detests it. But he loves the sinner. And that is all part and parcel of the precious thoughts of God towards his creation. Now, I want to encourage you this week, church, to think about this point throughout the course of this week. What will God think about the choices that we make? What will his thoughts be towards the time that we make this week for prayer? How will God view, how will he think about the time that we take for studying his holy word? Why? Because God pays close attention to the details. God's thoughts are more precious in content. But third and finally this morning, God's thoughts are innumerable and they are also refreshing. Can we say this together? God's thoughts are innumerable and refreshing. Hallelujah. In the remainder of verse 17, David goes on to say, not only are his thoughts precious to me, but he goes on to say, how vast is the sum of his thoughts. Were I to count his thoughts, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. This is a beautiful picture of the refreshing nature of God's thoughts about us. David says that there's so many precious thoughts about God that they outnumber even the very grains of sand. Think about that. That even when I go to sleep, David says, and I wake up the very next morning, just one thought about God and His grace is enough to sustain us throughout the day. Because we will never grow weary or tired thinking about the goodness of God. It refreshes us each day. You know, some people, they can only watch a movie once and they can never watch it again. They watch it through once and that's it. They no longer want to see it again. It becomes stale, old news. Been there, done it, got the t-shirt. But there are others like me who don't mind watching the same movie over and over and over and over again. For me, I don't care how many times I watch The Lion King. I will never get bored of watching The Lion King. But what is so amazing about this psalm is David lets us know that there are so many thoughts in the counsel of God's mind and His will. They outnumber the grains of the sand. But each and every day, church, they are refreshing to my soul. It's like having a drink today, but even though I may have a drink today, tomorrow I am going to be thirsty again. I'm going to need a drink today, but I also need a drink tomorrow. And the thoughts, the precious thoughts of God, each and every day, they are new and refreshing and revitalizing. They nourish our souls each and every day. That is why we can never get tired or bored of studying and reading God's holy word. We can read all 60 books over and over again, and when we do that, we will still be inspired, encouraged, uplifted, and motivated afresh and anew each and every day. Because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. Why? Because they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His thoughts are precious. They sustain and renew me each and every day. So my final challenge to you today, this morning, is simply this. Whose report will you believe? Sometimes we fix our attention and thoughts on too much negativity, bad news, bad reports, gossip and hearsay, that we overlook the opportunity to be refreshed and renewed on the precious thoughts that come from God. Perhaps why the songwriter of old put it this way, that when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. So finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard and keep our hearts through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your thoughts towards us are precious. Father, we thank you that you think so highly of us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have ordained for our lives a perfect plan, a perfect will. Through the counsel of your thoughts, you have an individual plan for each and every one of our lives. And you see the big picture, Lord. You see the beginning from the end. But you also see the finite details, the small details, those details of our lives each and every day. You know about them. You are concerned and you care. And Lord, I pray each and every day that we would be refreshed and we will be renewed on the precious thoughts that come from you. And finally, Lord, I also pray that just like the children of Israel, there are times when we go our own way and we get off that divine path that you have for us and we turn to a different path, a path that you did not ordain, a path that you did not consecrate for our lives. Father, in those moments, would you allow your grace and your mercy to find us and allow us to get back on the right path. We thank you that even when we go our own way, your mercy and your grace is there to guide us and steer us back on the path that you have ordained. And Lord, I also pray for anyone here today who has not yet come to know that perfect plan of God for their lives, that Jesus Christ came to be the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. I pray today that they would open their hearts and receive that gift of salvation, that plan that was ordained long before we ever got here. So, Lord, as we continue to reflect on how, Lord, we can respond to your precious thoughts so that our lives can be a sweet-smelling savior to you. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the worship team come back to lead us as we prepare to close, That is who you are. Our God is a way maker. Please do join us for teas and coffees and a chance to fellowship together as a church family in the church lounge. Look forward to seeing you there. And just a reminder, as you'll see in your notes that you received today, next Sunday is Compassion Sunday, and we're going to have a special guest, two guests that are going to be with us next week, and you're really going to be blessed by the testimony that will be shared. So we certainly look forward to Compassion Sunday next week. And also, final thing I want to say, after service today in the lounge, going to be doing another baptism class. We're going to be having a baptism on the final Sunday of this month on Pentecost Sunday, and which we're looking forward to. And we've got one candidate, and then last week had another one who wants to be baptized. So if there's anyone else, if you've been thinking and praying about baptism, then please do come and speak to me, or just come and join in with us after in the lounge, grab a coffee, and we'll talk all things baptism. So feel free, if you have any questions or want to talk about baptism, please do come and join us. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much again that your thoughts towards each and every one of us, they are precious. And we thank you for that great plan, that tailored plan, and also the universal plan that you have for your world. And we pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, but never your presence, may we continue to live our lives, and all that we do, may we always remember the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. And may our lives reflect all that he has done for us. So as we go our separate ways now, but never from your presence, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the glory of his presence, with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now, henceforth, as well as forevermore. And all God's children, let us say, Amen. 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 God bless you all. Love you all. Love you all. Bless you.